When you say anchoring, can you explain what you mean?
Well, the fleet, the Liberty boats, which they were escorting, which had all the material that was going up to Russia on board, like lorries and some armoured vehicles, would be anchored in a certain part of the lock, and the naval boats would be anchored in another, like a cruiser had to have a very deep anchorage. And when they came through the lock gates, signalling, and we would have to give their positions that they had to get to, and these had to be worked out on a chart, and there were areas were blocked off, numbered, as to where they had to go. And the cruisers always had to anchor just below us because that was the deepest water. There was an incident that was quite an amusing incident that happened over this cruiser being, it was the Devonshire, was anchored below us, which if I'll tell you if you'd like. The escorts changed. Those that came across the Atlantic and those that then took over and went up to the North Sea, which was terrifying because the losses were huge. And the Devonshire was left for a while because she wasn't taking the cruise, the convoy up north. And we were all rather relaxed, having had this very high-pitched period. And we're lying in our dip behind our hut with very little on. And suddenly we heard a scuffling going on in the bracken around us. It was sort of heather and bracken all around the huts and rabbits. That was about all that was there. And we looked up, and it looked as though we'd been invaded by the Japanese, because there was this row of Japanese faces looking down on us. And, of course, we leapt up and covered up and discovered that they were, I think, Chinese cadets on board the Devonshire. Of course, it was a very big joke when we told them we thought we were being invaded by the Japanese. But, I mean, we became very friendly just for a short while the Devonshire was there with some of the officers, and we were taken on board and made quite a fuss of. They used to come and land below us. And then the other amusing thing that used to happen was when the Liberty boats were in, and they were manned by the Americans, they used to propose to us on the light at night, and they were nearly always very drunk. So we had this extraordinary situation, because every light that blinked, you had to answer. And you'd have they'd do the call up, and you'd give the Roger, which is AR, and they would then start their signals. And then they would say, are you female? And we'd say, yes. and then the next request was, will you marry me? And then this thing went on. And at night, of course, we weren't really supposed to be using the lights in this way, but these poor people were really terrified of the next move because the losses were so huge. It was very, very awful for them. They used to cut their wrists. They used to jump overboard as the convoy was going out, anything to avoid this terrifying trip up to the Russians.
Because they were going to Archangel and Murmansk. Yes.
And the weather was horrific. And if any of them were sunk, they never survived in the water for more than a few seconds. It was just ice, and it was very, and they were riveted Liberty boats. I don't know if you know about that. It means that if there's any sort of a bang, they just disintegrate. They were put together very quickly just to use the convoy.
Are these the same boats that the 50 boats that came from America or not?
No. Those were destroyers. They were very old destroyers, exchange. No, these were merchantmen, merchant ships.
Did the crewmen that you were meeting speak of their fear, or did they not speak of it?
They didn't speak of it, but we didn't come in contact with it up at the signal station. We only had the contact with the lights. But the people down in the base, in the sick bay, said it was terrible that they came in there with anything they could think of. They slashed their wrists, which I think I said. They'd try and do anything to be able to avoid that convoy. And they said that they were terrified. And some of them were very young seamen, you know, probably their first trip. Everybody knew about the horrors of these convoys. And all the escort, all the naval people also, it was a terrible, terrible route. Everybody dreaded it.
So up, you had a spot with presumably a very good view over the whole of the lock.
Yes, we did.
But presumably bad weather would sometimes mean that you couldn't see?
Oh no, it was never bad enough not. It was bad enough that when they came over the horizon, when the convoys were starting to come in, when it was clear weather, they would start signalling when it was like a pinhead. It was incredibly difficult to read. But this warrant officer we had, she was so good that she was absolutely brilliant. She could read these lights from a pinhead. And I remember one cruiser coming in and congratulating whoever's behind the light, it happened to be her, that she'd taken down every single message. And what they were wanting was, they'd had very bad weather and they were wanting a tremendous lot of replacement repairs and so on, which was very necessary, that this was dealt with very quickly. So by the time they actually got into the lock, we were already signalling the base for replacements for them, and they gave us a very good plus mark for that.
So you were passing on messages by light as well?
Yes.
No telephone?
Oh yes, we were telephoning the lock. We were telephoning the main base with that sort of message. Yes. Further afield up to the Clyde, because some of the things had to be flown down for them.
So while you were based up there, how would you get your general news about how the war was going around the world?
I think it must have been by radio. We had our radio. I think we had a radio.
And what about, just going back for a moment to Trinidad, how did you get your news in Trinidad?
It was again radio.
Was any of that being broadcast from London, or was it local?
Oh no, it would be overseas news. It would be a channel overseas news.
What about newspapers?
Yes, but they took an age to get there because the flying, you know, wasn't direct. And there was, we had a lot of stuff, magazines and things, that were still coming out very erratically, because some of them would be lost, torpedoed. And they would take ages to come out. And I remember we used to belong to the Royal Book Society. And you know, Book of the Month would come out. And sometimes it would take weeks to come or be lost. There'd be a gap.
And newspapers in England, when you were in England?
Yes, one read them. And they I think they were pretty good with the reporting of the results of what was going on in the war.
What was your sense, or what's your memory of people pulling together collectively? Were there any exceptions to that? By and large, one gets a picture of the country pulling together in a time of crisis and so on, but one's perhaps conscious that that was the message that government would want to put out. Were there instances of people who didn't take that line or who were just out for themselves?
Well, I never experienced it. The feeling I got as a Wren in uniform, moving about, hitchhiking, having to use the train, sleep on mail bags. I remember once coming down from Scotland, the guard let me go and sleep on the mail bags in the thing because I couldn't get a seat and I'd been standing in the corridor for ages. The whole spirit of helping, I think, was wonderful. I think there was a tremendous spirit of sharing and helping, and the good old incredible British humour. I mean, the ordinary Tommy, the ordinary sailor, which we were mixing with in the carriages, and I mean, I came down, I remember I had to come down overnight to get to be on leave, and we got to London. The track was bombed, and we were 4 or 5 hours just sitting in the train. A baby I know died on the train in that time, and with no, because it wasn't, you know, there weren't cafes or, you know, cafeteria or anything on, buffet cars on the train, anything like that. And everybody was hungry, everybody was thirsty. But if anybody had anything in a carriage, they would share it. No, it was a very good spirit.